Amen. Praise the Lord. Are you ready to have church tonight? Let me read you a few verses from Psalms. The scripture says, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the congregation will I praise thee. Anybody gonna do it? I will declare thy name among the brethren. His name is Jesus. I will sing praises in the midst of the congregation. I will praise thee. You that fear the Lord, praise him. You that fear the Lord, praise him. All ye the seed of Jacob, glorify him and fear him, all ye seed of Israel. For he has not despised nor abhorred the affliction of the afflicted, neither has he hid his face. Let me tell you something right there. Hold on. He's not hid his face from Israel. He's not despised or abhorred or afflicted or abhorred the affliction of the afflicted. Neither has he hid his face from him. But when he cried unto him, he heard. My praise shall be of thee in the great congregation. Are you ready to praise the Lord? Brian, pray out loud right where you are. Go ahead.
Blessed say. Savior, well, He loves me, and He knows my every flaw. Well, but if I place my life in Jesus, He will safely lead me on. And there's a storm out.
Offering to give tonight, come and bring as they get ready to go into the next worship song. And for those watching online, you can see a link on the screen if you'd like to donate to help us. So bring your gift if you have one.
If you've been walking the same old road for miles and miles, if you've been hearing the same the same old lies, if you're trying to feel the same old holes inside, there's a better life, there's a better life. If you got pain, He's a pain taker. If you feel lost, search for the light of day in the dead of night. We've all found ourselves worn out from the same old fight, and we've all run to things we know just stay right. Dead of night, and ourselves worn out from the same old fight. And we've all run to things we know just ain't right. Oh, there's a better life. There's a better life. If you got pain, he's a pain taker. If you feel lost, if you receive it, if you can feel it, somebody testify. Oh, if you believe it, if you receive it, if you can feel it, somebody testify. If you need take the first step, and I don't know the way. Each turn seems so uncertain, but I've learned to walk by faith. But you gave me a promise that you would never leave. You will lead and guide me. Lord, I do believe. Lead me, Lord. I will follow. Lead me, Lord, and I will go.
Is anybody willing to go? Hup, two, three, four. Hup, two, three, four. She's going. She's coming.
If you have your Bibles, we're going to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And yes, I'm still struggling with sinuses, but I had my surgery, and hopefully I get better from here. But there's no mercy on those that are sick up in here. Let's pray. Heavenly Father God, Lord, we come to you in the name of Jesus. Lord, we ask for your power, for your spirit to flow through here tonight, Lord God, that you would move in the midst of everyone that is gathered, everyone that is watching or listening, Lord. We thank you for everything that you have done this morning, Lord God, through the praise and worship part of this service that's already taken place, God. We know that you're going to touch and move in us and through us, Lord God, so that you can use us to touch others in the days ahead. God, we pray, Lord, for every hindrance, Lord God, that would be removed out of this place, Lord God, that your spirit would flow freely in here, Lord God, that you would touch us and strengthen us as we bring forth your word in truth and in power, God. We pray for the anointing to flow in here tonight, God, that you would touch everything that is done, Lord God. We ask that the hearts and lives of believers, Lord God, and those that are not yet believers, God, that they would be touched, God. We need you tonight, Lord God, to strengthen us and to touch us and for you to have your perfect way and your perfect will in our hearts and in our lives in the name of Jesus. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, We're going to start in verse 1, read several verses, and we'll go back and talk about it. Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our examples, to the intent we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted, neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed of the serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all of these things happened unto them for examples, as they were written for our admonition. It's the main volume that's too loud. That's why it's doing that. Now all these things happen unto them for examples, as they were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore, let him who thinks he stand take heed lest he fall. And this is one of those memory verses that we learned when we first got saved and were in that discipleship class. And you've heard me quote it many times before, there has no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. Y'all think my voice is about to go, don't you? That's one of the memory verses that we learned when we first got saved. And reading the verses before it just kind of made the light bulb come on for me today. Of all the things that we read, and then it talks about the temptation in the wilderness. So if we go back to verse 1, we're talking about Israel. And as they escaped from Egypt, we all remember what happened. We've heard it 10 million times. We know. But do we know it? Do we apply it to our life today? It says, brethren, I would not have you be ignorant how that all of our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea. You know, when they came out of Egypt, when God parted the Red Sea, they all went through it. They all went through it. They all passed through the sea and were baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. You all hear the same message. You are all fed the same meat. We don't feed Karen something that we don't feed the Joneses. And we don't feed this side and that side. Everybody eats off of the same plate in here. That means everybody is accountable for what you've heard. That means if the Lord has dished it out, it means you're capable of eating it, believing it, receiving it, walking in it, knowing it, living it, and giving it to somebody else. It means we don't have an excuse. It means if God's given it to all of us, we're all capable. We're all able, from the oldest to the youngest. God doesn't say, well, it's okay for you, not okay for you, you need this, you need that. Now, new believers are new believers, and they are fed, they are drinking the milk of the gospel. They aren't, for us, we know, we're eating the meat. Nobody in here should be drinking the bottle of the word. They should all be eating the meat of the gospel. If God gives something out, he expects us to be able to receive it. It doesn't say, well, it's okay if you don't. That's just our laziness. That we don't want to walk in what God has given us because we want to complain and murmur and say that it's too hard. They all walked through the Red Sea. They all walked on dry ground through the Red Sea. Every one of them saw the Red Sea parted. Every one of them. Every one of us in here sees God move. We've seen him move. Whether you believe it or not, I mean, they had to believe it. They had to believe. They saw it with their eyes. The Red Sea parted. They saw manna being given to them from heaven. They saw all the things that God did while they were wandering around in the wilderness. Every one of them saw it. They experienced it. They witnessed it. Did they all respond the same way? No. Whose fault is that? It is our responsibility to respond to the message. It is our, the altars this morning should have been full. From what I gathered on the altar call, maybe I misunderstood what the call was for. But it was anybody that wanted to be used and to see God move in the days ahead. And I mean, if there's only four of us, we're in bad shape up in here. I mean, that's sad. It's sad. It makes you want to get that whip out and go through the church and start driving people to the altars and making them cry whether they want to or not, right? So they all did eat the same spiritual food is given here to each and every one of us. But it is our responsibility to take it. And it is between us and the Lord what we do with it. We're not going to be able to stand and point our finger at anyone else but ourselves. They all did drink the same spiritual drink. God gave them what they needed every day when they were in the wilderness. But there were still some, it says, but with many of them, God was not well pleased. Can you imagine the miracles of all that time, the things that they saw, the things that they experienced, the downs, the highs, the lows, the people that they saw, the results of their sin, and the results of their obedience? They witnessed this. But yet there were still some of them that God was not well pleased. For they were overthrown in the wilderness. And we wonder why people go through certain things that they go through. Maybe it's because God is not well pleased and he's trying to get us to the place that we need to be, that we should be. Now these things were our example. We have an example in the Bible. The Bible is our example. Others in church, in our lives, in our everyday life can be an example for us to teach us so that if I go through something and you see what happens and why I went through it and how I got through it and the end result, that should be an example to you. For one, if I'm going through something that I shouldn't have to go through because of my own choices, you should say, I don't want to do that. So Lord God, help me. Not that you say, I don't want it, but that we see that as an example of things that we should do and shouldn't do. So that as we come closer to the Lord, we draw closer to him so that he can do something in us. So that we don't have to be overthrown in our wilderness experience. That we don't have to be, we can be overcomers and not overthrown. Amen. Because we're going to go through a wilderness experience because it teaches us. And we're the ones that go round and round and round for 40 years when we could have gone through it in 40 minutes.
Come on.
Oh, we like to just, you know, we like to repeat. It says, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our examples to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. We are human. But as we grow closer to the Lord, we don't have to walk in the flesh. If we'll draw close to the Lord and walk in the Spirit, we won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. We must be spiritual. We must walk in spiritual things. Well, how do you do that? By coming to church? No. Some people join in the fellowship with God's people, but it doesn't mean that they're going to partake of the final destination, our final destination. Going to church is not it. Coming, showing up to church, going to the altar, that's not it. It's what you do outside of these doors. It's a personal relationship with the Lord. Going to church is just not enough. It's not enough. You must live this daily. You must sing to Him daily. You must read His Word daily, even if it's one scripture. You must pray. You should want to read His Word. You should want to sing His praise. It should come natural. We don't have any problem naturally eating. But my body needs that. Well, then your spirit needs spiritual food. Are we feeding it? Wasn't it just Joshua and Caleb that entered in and the rest were disobedient and therefore punished? Do we think we can be disobedient unto the Lord and not receive the consequences? Do we think that we can sin and just say, oh, I'll escape from that? We're going to reap what we sow. And we can't run around sowing evil and expect God to just overlook it. We can't run around being lazy in our walk with the Lord or our relationship with the Lord and expect God to say, well, it's just okay. I know what you're going through. Look at these. All of these that went, how many were there? And what did they experience? And yet they still were disobedient time and time and time again. And we have a better covenant and better promises. We have the Holy Spirit dwelling within us. We have the baptism of the Holy Spirit for our service to Him.
Yes.
What are we doing with it? Hiding it under a bushel? No. Going to church doesn't guarantee you anything. It does not guarantee you anything. How many people have gone to church this Sunday morning and left out and died and went to hell? How many untold numbers die and go to hell who are members of a church, who are deacons of a church, who maybe even teach Sunday school? But they don't have a relationship with the Lord. Maybe they once did, but because of moral idleness, moral laziness, they have backslidden and don't even realize it because they kept going to church and were told they were okay. There can be no excuses. There must remain loyalty to God. We want God to be faithful to us, but yet we don't remain faithful to Him. We want His blessings, but we don't want the commandments that come along with it. We don't want the service that brings about those blessings. Our faith in Jesus Christ brings about blessings. It does. But God requires us to be faithful. He is faithful. Why can't we be faithful? we're not faithful in our relationship with Him, our church attendance, our Bible reading, our raising of our kids, anything and everything that we do, we're hit and miss. We don't hit and miss so much at work, but we're getting a check. But we hit and miss in the things of God. You know, this week I've thought a lot about churches that have a lot of activities, you know, and have a lot of gatherings and things that they were, I don't want to say require, but put out their programs or whatever that they ask the congregation to attend. And I realize here we have some that drive from Cleveland, Decatur, Etowah, Lenore City, Charleston, Calhoun, wherever. So we have many but what if every other weekend we had something here and required everyone to come? Oh, wait a minute, we do, right? Yeah. Prayer. We have prayer here. Well, I have this and I have that and I have this and I have that. You know what? We have it every other weekend, almost. It's the first and third Saturday of the month. Can we make it once a month? Could we make it every other month? What are our excuses that we don't come? What are our excuses that we don't come? Well, what are things that we're putting ahead of it? Why don't we come? Is it too far? Is it just not long enough time to be here? Am I not getting seen? Is it not, or I'm not rewarded for it? What if we had this or that? Remember when we used to go, something popped up on my timeline, I think several weeks ago, of me and Lucas and I think Virginia and Jerry and Chris and I don't remember who else, when we went to these apartments to witness. Why is no one in here putting that together? Well, because the person that did it's not doing it. Oh, okay, so that means that God doesn't want us to? So why is it only up to the responsibility of the preacher to put things in place? Why couldn't someone else say, you know what, I see that, you know, who was heading that up is not, and I feel like the Lord wants me to do that. Maybe that's something we should do after a prayer on one of our Saturdays, come in here and pray and then go out. Just dropped into my spirit. Maybe somebody ought to pray about that. What are we doing to reach our community? Sitting in here on Sunday morning, Sunday nights? Maybe Wednesday if I'm not too tired? Are we expecting God just to move on people without sending anybody? Are we following the Bible? Are we trying to reach our communities? Maybe you live in another town and you have an area you want some of us to gather together and go knock on doors. Ask. Pray about it. How are we reaching our community? We're talking bad about them and the things they're not doing and how bad it is, but what are we doing? There's no excuses. Everybody in here is saved. What are we doing to get others saved? Just witnessing on our job? Is that it? Whereas we use the Bible as an example. In verse 7 it says, neither be ye idolaters as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose to play. Neither let us commit fornication as some of them committed and fell in one day 23,000. There's nothing in the Bible that says that we couldn't fall in one day that many for what we did, for something that we committed. It says that they're falling in the Bible over and over. It says in the last days, people are going to depart from the faith. None of us sitting in here have a free ticket. Nobody in here is exempt from being deceived or deceiving someone else. Unless you keep your faith in Jesus Christ and nourish your relationship with the Lord like you nourish your belly. If we all attended to our relationship with the Lord, yeah, I'm always talking about food. Y'all think probably I eat day and night, don't you? But if we nourished our relationship with the Lord like we do our food and made sure that at least three times a day we ate, at least three times a day we had our minds on the Lord. What if we attended to our relationship with the Lord like we do our relationship with food, or our relationship with our job, or our relationship with our families? Because we all know family's first, right? Family is first in the Lord. Our family should be the first people that we have a relationship with the Lord, meaning our children, to draw them to the Lord, to witness to them, to read to them, to pray over them. When I take Bubs to the babysitter in the morning, I try to remember to sit him down before we leave and tell him, let's pray. And is he going to sit still? No, but I try to pray for him. Does he know? I don't know how much of it he knows. But I know that I feel like he's imitating Thomas lately. He's been walking around going, na-na-na-na-na-na-na, and then clapping. And doing his hand up, and he was doing it, and I thought, what is he doing? And I watched him, I thought, I think he's trying to be preaching. I think he's trying to preach. Not preach, but, I mean, he can understand us. Just because he can't talk doesn't mean he hears blah, 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 blah. I mean, he understands. When you tell him no, he's pulling on my curtains, and I say, no, no, and he turns and looks at me, and I say, good, he claps. He knows. So we need to be about the Father's business in our own life, in our own hearts, because we're going to be without excuse. They commit fornication. Now there is neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents. Remember the fiery serpents that God sent? He sent them. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured. And the notes say that refers to finding fault with the way God is doing things. And they were destroyed of the destroyer. God is the ultimate destroyer, even though he may use other things as his instruments. Murmuring. Over and over in the Bible we hear about murmuring and complaining. Now, there is a difference between saying, I'm sick, I don't feel well, I'm tired of this sinus stuff, then complaining, going on and on and on and on and on about it. I mean, speaking the truth is speaking the truth. I am tired of it. But murmuring and finding fault, God, how much longer am I going to have to go through this? I've not said that, but I have said that, like, please let this be it. But finding fault, God, I don't like how you're doing this. God, you should do this, and you should do that, and you shouldn't do this, and you shouldn't do that. But not happy and complaining and murmuring with the messenger God sends. I don't like how he said that. Well, you can have five people say the same thing five different ways, and you can pick which one you like and which one you don't. But it doesn't change that if the truth is the truth, then it's the truth. And maybe it's not presented in the exact way, maybe in tone exactly the way that it should be. But is it the truth? If you don't like the messenger, too bad. You have to accept the message. Everybody has someone that they may enjoy better their way of teaching. Maybe nobody in here enjoys the way that I present. That's fine. But you don't have to like me or the way, but you need to listen to the message. Don't be distracted by presentation, my ability, or my inability. Listen to the message. Listen to the Word of God. Know. And is it true? Does it line up with Scripture? Murmuring about things that we don't like, the way God is doing things. Our jobs, as he hit on this morning. You know, we've, over time, we've heard people, I don't leave that job. There's a bunch of heathens in there. If you go somewhere where there's a bunch of Christians, you won't like them. They're probably worse than the heathens. Is God has placed you on your job for a reason. If God has placed you there and you didn't just pick it yourself. You know, in the beginning, we're all, God gave me this job, this and that. And then after a while, once we're comfortable in there, we start seeing things, and then we start complaining, I need another job, because I don't like this, I don't like that. But if God's placed us there, then more than likely, it is for you, number one, to be an example. For one, it's for you to do your job. Number two, it's for him to use that by means to bless you financially. And it's, you are there to live your life pleasing to God so that someone, sometime, somewhere along the line can receive Jesus Christ by and through you. I know you've heard me say many times that I have, for now, I have an office that's kind of off. My office is kind of off, away from everybody else's office. Kind of got me down. I call it down in the hole. And when people, oftentimes when people come in and out, that you know, they come in and out. I don't know how many have been there, but you come in and out, and every person that comes in or out passes by my door. And going in, of course, their back is kind of to me, but coming out, they can, if I'm sitting at my desk, they can see me. And so I wave to many times to many people, and people will come in there. It's kind of in a, like I said, it's kind of off, away from everybody else's area, away from the other offices, and it's kind of, it's private, more private. And people will come, I see them at times, I can see them looking in there, and they'll slip in there and talk to me about things spiritual. Ask me to pray for them. They'll ask me about certain scriptures. Ask me what I feel about this, what I think about this. And I say, well, what does the scripture say? Let's look at what it says. So it really doesn't matter what I think. It matters what the scripture says. But God sends people in there. Wherever you are, I'm sure others, wherever you are working, God can send somebody your way. If you're at a certain station, a certain on the phone, wherever you are, God wants to use you. Kids, God wants to use you at school. It's very difficult in a crowd, I understand, to talk about and bring up the name of Jesus. But it doesn't have to be loud and a big display, because maybe God's wanting to speak quietly to that person through you. Don't be afraid to ask someone, when people come to me and ask me to pray for something, you know, hey, would you pray for me? Would you pray for my daughter? She's going through this. Or would you pray for my mom? Or would you pray for such and such? And then they keep talking. And when they get finished, I said, yeah, do you want to pray now? How surprised are they? Oh, sure. Kids, young people, you can do that at school. When somebody asks you, hey, would you pray for mama? Say, yes, go ahead and pray now. It doesn't have to be loud. You don't have to embarrass them, but you can pray right there. Amen. So just bow your head, grab their hand, put your hand on their shoulder, just bow your head right there and close your eyes and let others see that you're not ashamed. Because if they ask you to pray right then, by the time you get home, you might forget. If you're like me, you're going to probably forget. So I need to do it right then. I went in to look for a recliner the other day, a rocker, at a place in town that I have not been and my mom's been telling me to go there. And I was like, I haven't been. So I went in there and I just walked all the way around to the back. And the lady asked me if I was looking for something. I said, yeah, I'm looking for a recliner. I didn't want to go in there because I figured they'd probably be too high. But it was someone that I went to college with that I hadn't seen in a while. So she's talking. All of a sudden, she just starts talking to me about things going on in her life and where she's been, what's been going on. And she's talking and talking for a while and talked to me about some things. And I said, let's go ahead and pray. Let me go ahead and pray for you. And she's like, oh, okay. So I went over and grabbed her hand and prayed for her. And she thanked me 100 times for that. You don't know what people are going through. That you praying for them at home is totally different than you praying for them and letting them hear you pray for them. There is power in the name of Jesus. If they don't hear you speak the name of Jesus, they're not going to hear or feel that power while you're at home. They may. But let them hear the name of Jesus. Let them hear it. Let Jesus change their lives. Doesn't matter what kind of display or what kind of response you get from them, you leave that with God. His word never returns just void. That's not being ashamed of the gospel. Because you can throw the gospel message in there in your prayer. Lord God, we thank you in the name of Jesus for what you did on the cross. And we're believing, God, that you would provide a job for this lady, for you would touch a healing in the name of Jesus by your stripes, by your blood. We know you died on the cross, God. We're believing in faith. Give them what they need. Now these things are examples for them in verse 11. And now all these things happened unto them for examples. And they were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore, let him who thinks he stand take heed lest he fall. And then the verse we're going to end with is, there has no temptation. Now remember what all we just read, what they all went through, what has been told to us, the scriptures that have been spoken. There has no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. Look, there's nothing you're going through that somebody hadn't already been through. There's nothing that you're going through that someone else hasn't experienced, that someone else hasn't already overcome by the power of God. And don't think that you're going through it and it's worse than what everybody else is going through. You know, sometimes it will tell somebody something and they have to tell you how theirs is 15 times worse than yours ever was. You know, there's no temptation, there's no test, trial, tribulation, test. Look at what they went through in the wilderness. There's nothing that surprises God. There's nothing that you're going to go through that he doesn't already know and that he's already provided for. It says there is no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God, remember that message Grace preached on, I don't know how long ago, but I still, every time I read "but God," I think of Grace. But God, he is faithful. He is faithful. Who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able. There's a promise. There's a promise. You're going to have trials. You're going to have testings that are going to cause you to want to murmur, to complain. But God is faithful. He is faithful. But with that temptation, also make a way to escape it, that you may be able to bear it. He's already provided it. He has already provided it. How's he provided it? To be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. If you put on the whole armor of God every single day, then there's nothing that's going to come your way that you're not already equipped to handle. They went through the wilderness and they didn't have, I know that it happened for a reason, but we don't have to go through the wilderness for 40 years. You can make it in 4 minutes. You can make it in 40 minutes. You can go through in 4 days, 40 days, 4 months, 4 years, however long you're supposed to. If you'll go God's way, go on and understand that there's nothing that you're going through that God didn't. He already knew. He's either caused or allowed it to come your way. It is not for your destruction. Even though we say, this is going to kill me. What do they say? What doesn't kill me makes me stronger. It is for our good. It is for to grow us, to build our faith, to strengthen us spiritually. You need to be strong spiritually so that you don't crumble at every wilderness experience. So you don't crumble when you don't have what you want when you want it. You realize that God is doing this for a reason. And that there's nothing that you're going through that someone else hasn't already gone through. And you know what? They probably went through it a whole lot better than we did. But it is for an example. That's why we have testimonies. You know, sometimes I wonder when people never have a personal testimony, you kind of wonder. I mean, do they just not want people to know? Do they not want to share personal testimonies? Not personal details and not everything, but sometimes we have a testimony. Personal experiences that we have gone through that you don't know that at the moment that you share that with someone that they're not going through that, and that what you tell them how you got through that down on my knees in prayer, I had to read the word and encourage myself and the Lord to get through it, that's what they need to hear. You don't know the person that is on the verge of giving up, and there you are with the means when they say, I'm going through something, would like for you to pray for me. Okay, I will. See ya. Maybe they really need it right that moment. Be strong in the Lord. And in the power of his might, you must put on the whole armor. It's not something you dress yourself in. It's something you wake up in. Daily, we are in Christ. We were baptized into his death and we were raised. And we're in the newness of life that Christ died to give us. There's no temptation that could overcome you unless you give up. Unless you don't turn to the Lord to bring you through that. He says, here's your test and here's the answers. I've already provided it for you. I've already given you the equipment, the knowledge, the wisdom and understanding, and the power to get through it. And now I'm good. He never gives us that test without already giving us the means to get through it. He doesn't give us tests, trials, tribulations to harm us, but to build us spiritually, to mature us. Don't ever think that God's put something on you to harm you. I don't know why God would do this to me. We don't question why God would do that. We need to understand that in the situations, identify that, God, I know this is a test. This is something that I need to go through. God, what are you wanting to do in me through this? Because the longer you travel round and round in the wilderness, more likely you are to be destroyed. That's why it's important for each and every one of us to develop our relationship with the Lord. Coming to church is not enough. I'm thankful for everyone that comes because it does. It does encourage you. You know, when you come in here and you're down and out and you should try to hide it. You shouldn't come in with your lip poking out. No, maybe little ones do, but we shouldn't come in here like the little ones do. With our lip poking out, pouting, we ought to leave that outside the door. But to come in here, and you know, we all come in here on days that, you know, we're being tested, or we don't feel well, we're tired. But it's in those times we need to come in here, and it takes a little while for the Lord to soften us up. But this is where faith is at the all-time high. When you're going through something, this is not the first place you quit going. This is not the place that you don't come. Look, we're a small congregation. When you're not here, everybody knows it. Well, they know I didn't come. Big deal. God knows you didn't come. You know what? He sees you when you're sleeping, and He knows when you're awake, and He knows why you're staying home. He sees you when you're pouting, and He ain't happy with that. What happened to those that complained and murmured? God disciplines them, and He will discipline us. This is not the first place you don't come when you're going through something, because everybody in here is for you. You don't have to come in with the t-shirt on telling us what you did wrong. Or why you're in the situation you're in, or what situation you're in, financially, physically, emotionally, whatever it is. You don't have to come in and advertise it, but this should be the place that you should run to. If you're running away from it, what makes you think you're going to tell somebody else to go to church when you yourself having a problem won't come to receive of the Lord? This is one place that you can come in, and you don't have to do anything to receive. You are fed you don't have to come in here and work. You're fed praise and worship. You're fed the gospel. And then you're given a free opportunity to come down to the altar to hand over your problems to the Lord. This should be the easiest place to come when you're going through something. You know, of course, my family has access here all the time because we have a key or a code to get in. And, you know, over the years, we've had a few trials at home, a few testings. You know, we have a child. There's one alone. We're married. There's another one. You know, bills. You know, there's things. And we've had disagreements or, you know, somebody's just having a hard time or going through something and get upset or get mad. I mean, hey, we get mad and want to, you know, when you want to run away from home or whatever, and this will be the place, you know, you leave and think you're going to squall tires and go somewhere, and where do we always end up? Down here. Because this is an altar on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And for me, it's always open. And when I'm having a hard time and I'm mad or upset or struggling or whatever, I'm usually right there automatically. And I tell God how I feel. And I try to stay there. Sometimes I'll say, God, I'm not leaving here until you change me. Because I know my problem isn't everybody else and everything else. I know that it really is me. That no matter what I'm going through, God's trying to do something in me. God is trying to do something in us in these last days. We are living. Look around. We're living in the last days. Look at 2020 compared to today. Today compared to 2020. Work ethic, transgender, our government, things that are coming. Look at how different things are in 4 years. If you don't believe that we're in the last days, that this next election is going to be, is going to tell it all how close we really are. If Trump doesn't get in, you better look out. And I'm not preaching for him, but if our options are Biden and Trump, let's get real. You're going to know, you better buckle up. Because God's not playing games. You can look overseas at Israel and see what's going on. And you know that we're in the last days. We better get serious. It's not about planning our future 401k down the road for when I retire. I don't think I'm going to live long enough to retire, Lord. I hope not. I hope we're raptured out of here before that. Because I don't believe it's going to be very long. It can't be. The signs of the time are telling us it can't be very long. And I believe that God's trying to get us ready. And he's trying to make us realize how serious that it really is. That forget about 20 years down the road. You better look for today. You better realize that today is the day of salvation for our friends and family members and our coworkers. That I don't know how much longer it's going to be, but I'm telling you, it won't be very long. So remember what they went through. I don't believe we have 40 more years of walking around the wilderness trying to figure it out. I think you better get it and figure it out today and get on with the program. Amen. And quit playing games. It's not about you and what you want and all these things. People got to get over it. It's not. People are so far, and the church is the furthest one from being serious about what's taking place in our world today. And God's going to keep pushing and allowing things to take place to get the church ready. You know, the fields, I've seen it several times this week watching the programs that I've heard it said the fields they're white. And they're ready for harvest. But there's nobody out there. There's no laborers. Because everybody's too busy working overtime and full of sports and activities with their families and doing all these things with their work. And they're so far stretched that they don't even care that there's lost souls out there. But we need to be prepared ourselves for the rapture. I don't want the rapture to take place and stand before God and him say, I had all these, here's the list of things I had for you to do, and you didn't even get to it. You were too busy. You were too busy to be busy for my kingdom. You were too busy to be blessed by what I wanted to do in you. See, I believe that when we are content with the things that God wants to do in us or where he has us, that we'll get serious about the Lord. That if we are content, we're going to be happy with what he's called us to do. And it won't be a major sacrifice for us to put other things aside. So this altar call, I want to pick up at Thomas's altar call. Miss Grace, if you'd come. If you want to be used of God, if God's called you to do something and you're not doing it, you need to ask him to forgive you for not doing it. Then you need to ask him to show you how to pick it back up and to do it. You know, the gifts and calling of God they don't go away because you know, you're tired. He wants you to do something. He wants you to do it. God, we're running out of time. And there's souls out there that are at stake. And it could be, you know, you may not reach your family, but there's somebody else out there that's listening to the same message that is going to reach your family. And I don't want to be the cause of someone's family member not getting saved and ending up dying and going to hell. It's our responsibility at this point, because every one of us here are saved, to lead somebody else to the Lord. And it doesn't have to be an official prayer. You just got to know who Jesus is and to get them there. So I don't know what it is in everyone's life that God wants you to do, but I'm going to pray and believe with you that you're going to fulfill whatever it is He's got for you that you need to be doing. Young people, God wants to use you, kids. And I know, I mean, He's using Anna Kate in here, and great. And outside of these doors, I know that there's others that have abilities that can be used in here. And there's things that God wants to do to get you ready to use you outside of these doors. I also know that the devil wants to destroy you young people. And I know he's trying. I mean, he tries with us. I know he wants to. But you don't have to go the way of the enemy. You don't have to let him have your life. But you're going to have to submit to him. First and foremost, know that he wants to do it in your heart, in your life. So whatever it is you have, the Lord wants to touch you and to restore you, renew you, and strengthen you in his power and in his might. Heavenly Father God, right now in the name of Jesus, we bind the hand of the enemy that has lied to the people, Lord God. We plead the blood of Jesus over each and every one that has come, Lord God. Whatever it is that you've got for them, that they need to be doing for you because of you, Lord God. Not that we're focused on what we're doing, God, but we know, Lord God, that you want to use us to reach the lost in these last days. Right now in the name of Jesus, God, touch every person that has come forth, Lord God. In the name of Jesus, we plead the blood of Jesus over them. We bind the hand of the enemy that would hinder them, that would discourage them, Lord God. And we pray for your power to go over them, Lord God, in them and through them, Lord God. Right now in the name of Jesus, have your way. Speak to their heart. Confirm to them, Lord God, what it is that you're doing in them, Lord God. Show them the way. Open doors, Lord God. Open doors that no man can shut, and shut doors, God, that no man can open in the name of Jesus, God. We pray for strength and power. God, we pray, Lord God, that you would use each person, God, that we would hear of some testimonies next weekend for what you have done, Lord God, through them, Lord God. Let somebody get saved. Let somebody be delivered, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Touch everyone's mind, Lord God. Touch their bodies, God. Give us strength in our bodies, Lord God, that we would not one would be left behind, Lord God, but that we would be strengthened with your power and with your spirit right now in the name of Jesus, God. Touch us, Lord God. Touch us, Lord God. Don't let us wander around aimlessly, Lord God, but let us be on the path, Lord God. Let us remain faithful and steadfast and strong in the power of your might, Lord God. Lead us wherever you would have us to go, Lord God. In the name of Jesus, God, we thank you for your power, for your strength, for your spirit, Lord God. We thank you that you love us, Lord God. We ask you to forgive us for anything and everything, God, that we've done wrong. Maybe the wrong direction, maybe, Lord God, and the wrong words that we've spoken, God. We ask that you would forgive us and cleanse us, Lord God. We plead the blood and we leave it under the blood in the name of Jesus, Lord God. That we would walk in the Spirit, Lord God, from here on out, Lord, and that you would use us mightily in the days ahead, God. Touch everyone and bless them, Lord God, financially, spiritually, emotionally, mentally, Lord God. And we thank you for it. In the name of Jesus, God, have your way.
Blessed by the live service from Family Worship Center in Athens, Tennessee. Our weekly services are Sunday at 10:30 a.m., Sunday at 5:30 p.m., and Wednesday evening at 6:30 p.m. Watch us live online at www.fwc-tn.com. You can also check us out on Facebook or YouTube. Family Worship Center is located at 250 County Road 378 in Athens, Tennessee. Send all correspondence to Family Worship Center, P.O. Box 118, Athens, Tennessee 37303. For more information, you can call the church at 423-744-0774.